Welcome back, Raw Thoughts podcast listeners. I have been so extremely busy, excited, just living the life in the podcast world, and have some really fun announcements for you. So one of them is on August 27th in Nampa, I will be sponsoring the Canyon County Paramedics Teeing Off for Teens. Now what that is a golf tournament actually raising money and awareness for teen suicide prevention. They're raising the money to be able to teach school teachers, bus drivers, coaches, warning signs, you know, symptoms of these kids that are really in distress. So I would love for you to look in the description. There's going to be a link in there for you to go on if you would like to come to the golf tournament, if you would like to sponsor at the golf tournament, if you would like to just donate to the golf tournament in helping these teens out. The other thing is, I can't announce it just yet, but we really have a lot of things strumming up in the podcast world. So very excited for that. Today, I have Bree with us. She actually reached out to me through, you know, social media. She had a friend that was on the podcast and said, hey, like, I would love to come on there. So if you're somebody like her, definitely reach out to me. I'm an open platform for you to be able to tell your story, whatever that is. If it's business, if it's your hardship, if it's your excitement in the life, I am an open platform, no boundaries, for you to be able to tell your story. So today we have Bree. Thank you for coming on. And it sounds like you have just had a lot of hardships, a lot of downs versus ups in your life specifically. So I'm going to turn it over to you and tell us about yourself.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here. And this is super exciting. This is my first podcast.
Yay!
So thank you.
You're welcome.
So I got married really young. I was 19 when I got married and 20 when I had my first daughter. And I have three daughters, and I went through really bad postpartum depression. So that was like hit number one. And soon after getting married and actually after having my second daughter, I started to develop really bad migraines. So there was another hit. And the migraines and the postpartum depression coupled together, I became suicidal. I was super depressed. I just felt like, why live? I was always in pain. And then, you know, to top that off, I was in a pretty abusive relationship. And it was really tough. You know, I'm a young mom, and we live in the world of social media. I see everybody out doing their thing, and I felt like I was missing out. But here I had, you know, my beautiful babies. So it was this world of like, oh, I love what I have, but I'm in so much pain and the hurt and trauma. And, you know, it was just, I was very conflicted. So I started to, at one point, I decided, like, I need to start living, because otherwise I'm going to die. And I know that sounds really dramatic, but it just is how heavy it was and how I felt. And so I did. I started going to the gym, and really not even like, oh, I want to lose weight and I want to get in shape. I just needed to move. And so I did. I started moving slowly but surely. I started to notice my migraines were fading. My depression was going away. I was happier. And then, of course, like, you know, the benefits of physical exercise, you get the physical benefits, and I just felt really good. So I just kept going. And, you know, even though the depression and the migraines really went away, my marriage was really bad. And here I had three daughters, and I felt like, would I want my girls to be with somebody and to really struggle, you know, in their life and in their marriage? And I come from a very, very Christian, conservative background. I still follow all of that, but it really kept me within that marriage. And there were several times where I tried to pull back, try and have a little bit of space, thought maybe counseling. We did, you know, some things, but it just never really got better. So eventually I just decided, like, enough's enough. I need to get out. And I did it. And there's a lot of pieces in there that, you know, a lot of time and people that I had to counsel with, and I finally got this piece of advice and it really stuck with me. And somebody said, you know, because I was like, oh, well, it's easy to leave. And he goes, no, it's not. It's easy to stay. You got your house. You got a paycheck. Because I didn't work. I did go to school. I did get my bachelor's degree while taking care of the girls. But I didn't work. And I didn't have that experience to really build me up. So I felt really trapped. And I felt like, if I leave, what am I going to do? And I just knew, like, it was going to get ugly. And at the end of the day, I took his advice to heart. And I'm like, you know what? This is easy. And as scared as I am, I need to leave. I need to do something. So I did. And let me tell you, that was another hardship. And it was really, really rough. A lot of people didn't understand at first because I kept our marriage and, like, the struggles really private. I had one friend that I really confided in. But just about anybody else, I kept it, you know, kept it away and from their ears. But so going into divorce with three children, and as ugly as it was, I learned so much about myself, as most hardships do, if you're willing to learn, right?
Right.
And then, you know, my next big move was moving here. I went from Southern California out here. Now, granted, I did have my parents out here, so I wasn't technically moving alone, but I'm alone, you know? So it's like that move and that transition with three children to a new state, not knowing what's going to happen, was pretty scary. But I just kind of thought, well, it's life. This is supposed to be a journey. Let's go. Right. And I cried for probably 2 weeks when I moved here because I didn't have anybody.
How recent was it that you moved here?
I moved here in January of 2021.
Okay. Yeah. So pretty fresh still.
Yeah. But I love it.
It is beautiful.
And I shared with you right before, like, I had never visited the state before deciding to move here. I mean, I basically got the permission from my ex to bring the girls here. And I was like, okay, I wasted no time. I was out of there within like 28 days.
Wow.
When I was here. Yeah.
That was a fast move. Yeah. So a question along this way. How close in age are your kids?
My first two are about 18 months apart, and then the middle and last are about 2.5 years.
So from the first child or the first daughter that you had to the second one, you never got out of that postpartum depression.
Nope.
You were still in that postpartum depression, rolling into another pregnancy, rolling into another set of hormones and just kind of catastrophe within the body.
Yeah.
To make that happen. Between your girls, was there a point where you did feel a little bit better, or that you were kind of coming out of that, or did you feel it was that postpartum depression for a while?
I started to feel better actually after my second was born. I went through it. It was about 2 years, and that was where, like, the bulk of my depression, my migraines really was. But I started to feel better actually in between, I actually started to feel better right before I found out I was pregnant with my third. And I remember it was so funny. I was talking to my friend, we were out doing a marathon actually. And, you know, finally getting a little time away from the babies and we're, you know, doing girl time. And, she goes, do you want any more? And I was like, God, no. So done. And, you know, I was actually really thinking about divorce at that time. And then I think like 2 days later, I found out I was pregnant and I cried. And it was so funny because I was more scared. I cried more because I was like, oh my gosh, am I going to get my migraines back? Am I going to go back into this spiral, downward right. spiral? And just, you know, I didn't want to go there.
Well, and that also plays in that now you're with your husband for longer and you were thinking about a divorce with him.
Yep.
And how long has it been since that you have been divorced?
Actually, yesterday was 3 years exactly.
You're not counting or anything.
No. little celebratory cocktail yesterday. No, it was about 4 years ago we separated, and then to actually be divorced officially was 3 years yesterday. So.
Wow. And moving up here, I mean, what was that with the girls, that dynamic, mm-hmm. you know, because you made that comment of your girl, like if your girls were in this relationship what would they do and what would you want them to do? You know, they're in a very toxic relationship. And in my family, this question has came up, you know, mm-hmm. quite a bit recently, is like, what would you tell them? Would you tell them to leave? Would you tell them to stay because of a religion? Would you, you know, support them? How did you have that discussion with your three girls of leaving a toxic relationship with their father?
How did I have that, or how would I? They were in it.
How did you with your girls?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, when we told them we were separating, we both sat them down and we had that conversation. Now, through the years, lots of questions have come up. And, you know, my oldest, she's felt it the most. I mean, makes sense. My youngest was about 3.5, 4 when it really started to go down. But my oldest has asked the most, and I've been the most open with her. She's daddy's girl still really loves him. I mean, they all love him, but you know, they just were confused and they were mad at me because I'm the one that left. So I started opening up to her and telling her, you know, just not everything. They don't need to know everything, but, just sharing that I did it because it was in the best interest of them. And I think that they're starting to see it. So that was kind of like my saving grace is, you know, people would tell me like, don't worry. One day they're going to see it. They're mad at you now because they don't get it, but they're going to see it. And I'm starting to see that in them as well right now. So,
And when you, I mean, what was that dynamic between you and him before moving to Idaho? I mean, having that discussion and saying, hey, I'm going to take our three girls and I'm going to move them to Idaho. What was the custody between you guys?
Well, we had at the time 50-50 custody. And it was pretty amicable between us, actually. The divorce was terrible, but then once we got through it and all those hurdles, we just kind of sat down. The shape of California, I mean, obviously, we all know how California is right now, and it was going downhill so fast. And I started to look at my girls because they weren't allowed to be in school because of COVID, and you know, they were falling behind. And I just told them, I'm like, I have to get them out of here. They're not going to have the same education. They're not going to be able to thrive if we continue to stay here. So I got to go. And, you know, you got to support me on this. And he actually had plans to move here. He hasn't, whether he does or doesn't, you know, that's on him. But right. At this point, I'm just, you know, really trying to push my girls to continue to thrive. And oh my goodness, since we've been here, they have gone leaps and bounds. So it was definitely the right decision for us.
Do you think that was some of their environment with their kind of school and living, or do you think that was also kind of getting them away from, you know, what could have been a toxic, you know, dad as well?
I'm going to be careful on that one. just be careful on that one. But as far as schooling and California and how it was, it was necessary for us to leave in order for them to do well. And so, yeah, just touch on a little bit in other areas as well. So, yeah.
And how old are they now?
8, 10, and 12.
Wow.
Yeah. Lots of hormones going through the 10 and 12 year old.
I could only imagine.
Yeah.
And three probably very strong, independent, and opinionated girls.
They are. But you know what? I'm going to brag for a second. I know every mom does. And they think that, you know, my kid's so great. They are, I don't know, by the grace of God, my girls are so well behaved. They have their moments, but I'm just like, I don't know what I'm doing because they get along for the most part. And they, you know, they have their tiffs, but they are so polite. And I love it because some of the best compliments I've ever gotten are, you know, because my girls have been respectful and well behaved and helpful and all of that. So I'm just grateful.
Yeah. Yeah. And how was that transition going from being a stay-at-home mom to now a working single mom?
Yeah, that was a big transition. And I will tell you this. Now that I've experienced both, I'm so grateful that I've experienced both, because when I was a stay-at-home mom, I thought, you know, oh gosh, I want to go work. I want to go do something. And now I'm like, I want to be home with my kids. I miss, like, this whole summer, right? I'm grateful that I get to work, but I'm also missing so much. My mom's taking them to Roaring Springs, and they're going to the park with my sister, and I just feel like, oh, those are my moments. But at the same time, I'm so grateful because I have a real tribe, a real village behind me that is helping me, you know, every day with them. And I don't know how I would do it without them. So,
yeah, it really does take a village to raise these kids. Yeah. I mean, and I come from the aspect of I'm one of those village members, mm-hmm. you know, with my nieces, with my nephews, with, you know, other kids being around. I obviously do not have kids. And so I love being the fun aunt that gets to be like, hey, let's go to the park today. You know, going to a concert with them after this. And it's just, you have to have those different dynamics and those different role models in their lives to help them come up, you know?
Yeah.
And it's great to have your family, especially being here, being local, being there for you and your kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say, you know, it's so funny. I went to a church service and it was probably one of the most difficult church services I had sat through because he started out with single parent statistics and they were brutal. You know, I've heard them, but to sit there and listen to the pastor talk about basically like, your children are screwed if you're a single mom or, you know, a single dad. And I remember just like not really even being able, excuse me, to keep it together. And I cried. I got up after that service and I'm like, no, not my kids. I'm stronger than that. They see a strong mama in me and that's all they're gonna see. I have my dad, who's an amazing supporter, truly a rock, and my mom. But speaking of like male role models, and then my brother-in-law as well. He's also, you know, somebody that's been there for the girls and continues to be. So I'm so fortunate in that way.
Yeah. How is that? And just out of curiosity, do you date with these three girls? How is that dating with three girls? Because I could not imagine that.
This is fun. I date. It's interesting. I'm really proud of myself. I've never once have allowed somebody to meet my girls. Because I feel like, you know, they've met a lot of women on the other end of that. And I just looked at that and I'm like, that's so wrong. You know, I want the person that they meet, that I bring into my life and into our home to be the person that they, you know, that they get for the rest of their lives. And I know that's a lot, right? But I have friends and I love them to death, no judgment, but they will introduce their kids to just about any guy that they date. And I'm like, that's going to cause a lot of problems down the road if you're not careful.
Right.
So, yeah, I date. And I just, honestly, I'm like, I'm going out with a friend. And they're smart.
Yeah.
We're like, you're a little extra dressed up.
We got sexy mom tonight, not strong mom tonight.
Yeah, like, you got heels on or, yeah, your hair's curled, something like that. So
that's funny.
Yeah.
I could only imagine. My mom was a single mom of us three girls and for a short amount of time. And I was too young. I don't even know if she dated or if she just fell in love with who now I call dad.
Yeah.
But it is. I mean, having a male role model in a girl's life is very, very, you know, important. And even in a male's life, right? Like, they just, having both of those, having that dynamic of a male and a female raising a child and helping understand what this life is and what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be doing. And, you know, I think a lot of people in our lives learn from what not to do.
Yeah.
You know, instead of what we should be doing. Mm-hmm. And that's hard and it's not fun sometimes.
Right.
But that's the learning aspect we get from it.
Yeah. Yep. Always got to be learning and growing. And I think sometimes, I will say this, and I've always said this, even though I've been through quite a bit, I also had a stroke in 2020. Yep. That was pretty shocking. My daughter, my oldest, is actually the one that completely saved me. All of these trials and hardships and everything, I'm so grateful for every single one of them because I'll tell you this, I came out with my story of my postpartum depression, which is so incredibly shamed. I even wanted to start, I started writing a book And my book kind of started to evolve into my whole story. And I have to be careful with my divorce because there's a lot of things in there, that legalities and things like that, that I got to be careful of. But, you know, it started that way. It kind of grew. So I retracted a lot. And so I never ended up writing it. Maybe there'll be a book out there one day, but it'd have to be under like an alias or something like that. But, you know, I really value all of my hardships because they've taught me so much. And I put out there my story a while ago on Facebook, and I had so many women reach out to me like, thank you so much. And even this one lady, she's like, can we meet? She sobbed, she cried. She's like, I feel like I can't talk to anybody about my postpartum depression. I feel like, you know, anytime my husband, I talk to him, he just yells at me or he gets upset, which, what an insensitive, you know, husband. Mm-hmm. But I just felt like it was my job to share. I didn't go through that. God didn't put me through that to keep it a secret. So that's why, you know, there's a lot of ways that I've put it out there, but I just continued to tell my story. And now, like I said, it's evolved to divorce and single mama life and even dating, like all that kind of stuff. It's important that we share.
And when you had your stroke, did your girl recognize it? Did she know something was wrong? What was that story?
Yeah, actually, my grandma, she had passed away. She had brain aneurysms and stuff like that. So earlier that year, it was in 2019. And I always like had this thing with my girls. I'm like, even if they don't fully understand the language, I'm going to talk to them fully and just in the language that I know, because at some point they're going to go, oh, that's what mom meant. Oh, okay. And thank God I did. They had asked me lots of questions about her brain aneurysms and stuff like that. So I explained to them medical terms and all. And I was honestly, it was the end of the school year and we were collecting and gathering all the items. She was like walking behind me at like 10 o'clock at night with the iPad, writing down like the list of stuff we got to take back to the school. Oops. And she goes, she like turns her and looks at me and she's like, mom. And what's weird is like, I felt super, like, I don't even know how to describe the feeling, but it was like this wave that washed over me and I couldn't see straight. I kind of like put my hand on the counter and I'm like, something's off. And at the same time, she's like, mom, something's wrong. She goes, your face is drooping. And I was like, you know, like, no way. I look in the mirror and I'm like thinking to myself, oh my God, my face is drooping. So, and you know, just one-sided, but anyway, she's like, you're having a stroke. She called my dad, got him on FaceTime, she actually called my ex-husband who got the ambulance there. And it's funny, I like literally lived 1 minute away from the hospital. So, but I fell to the ground. She handled it. She did all the tests. The paramedics walked her through it until they got there. And had she not called, I don't know what the outcome would have been.
Right.
So, and then I just remember thinking, like, I'm so glad I talked to her about this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's so important to involve kids in situations like this, mm-hmm. instead of, you know, like, oh, they don't need to know what's going on, or it's not their, you know, they're not old enough to know what's going on. It's like, involve them, because you would not expect at your age to be having a stroke. Even to be able to just call 911. Like, hey, if you see something wrong, like, call 911. Even if they get there and everything's okay, I would much rather you do that than, you know, a worse outcome happening.
Right.
And so I give you a lot of props for teaching your kids that, because I don't feel like a lot of people do. It's like, here's your iPad. It's a burden on them to teach them anything. It's a burden on them to, like, describe, you know. We live in this such high-paced energy, you know, community and world where it's like, I don't have time for that. And it's like, well, where the hell else are they going to learn it from? They're not learning it from the internet. They're not learning it from these TV shows. Like, they're learning other things from that,
right,
which are not appropriate or, you know, well-versed. So I do give you a lot of props for involving your kids, even at the age that they are, knowing those things.
Yeah, thank you.
And it's incredible that, like, she was there with you, you know, how It could have been through the night. It could have been, you know, something completely different.
Could have been with their dad when, you know, he was supposed to have them. So,
yeah,
it was a very incredible experience, to be honest. Yeah. So,
and you talk about, you're very thankful, you know, for these hardships, and it's a great perspective to have to say, hey, you know what, thank you for this hardship. Like, it's making me learn. It's making me grow as a person. Where do you think you get that drive?
Where do I get that drive? I don't know. I just don't ever want to be a victim. Like, I want to be a victor. Mm-hmm. And I honestly see this opportunity, and this is kind of where, like, I'm being driven to, right? Like, women, we're so strong, we're so powerful, and I don't want us to stay in this state of victimhood ever. And I think that that's my drive, and my girls, like, I want them to see a strong mom, and I want them to grow up to be strong women. And it's life. Sometimes I can be a little insensitive, because as tenderhearted as I actually am, I can be a little insensitive to when somebody stays in a state of victimhood for too long. Because it's like, okay, yeah, grieve, feel your pain, all of that. But, like, life is passing you by. We have to stand up, and we have to just keep going. And so, to me, it's, like, it's kind of a challenge. It is a challenge, but it's kind of fun to, you know, look back and go, wow. You know, day by day, you know, it feels like nothing changes. But when you look back, like, everything is different.
Right.
And I think it's pretty cool to look back and go, I overcame all of that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
What else can I do? Let's go, you know?
Yeah. Well, and it puts you in the position when something else does come, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, this is never going to pass. Like, what's going to happen? And you look backwards and you're like, if I got through that, I can get through this.
Yeah.
You know, and being able to push through that and learn from all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's been, I think that's been huge in every single time there is a new, because, you know, like I said, life's going to always happen, and we're always going to have some kind of trial that we face. And we just got to know, like, we're going to get through it.
Yeah.
No matter what it is.
Yeah.
Even if it looks daunting and it looks like it's never going to pass, it'll pass.
It'll pass. Yeah. Everything will pass.
Yep.
That's kind of how I feel right now with the real estate world. Everyone's like panicking and crazy and like, oh no, 2008 is happening again. It's like, well, it passed.
Yeah.
We're going to get through it.
Yeah.
We came through the pandemic. Like, that's pretty hard on everybody right now too.
Yeah.
Like, people are stronger than what they think they are.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the 2008 recession and everything that happened, we learned a lot of things. And now we have another one. And we aren't getting to the same kind of recession as last time. It's a little different.
Yeah.
And it's because we learned. And now from this, we're going to learn going forward. And I just think that that's life.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So with your kind of passion with postpartum depression, what would you want to teach these women, or what is your drive to telling them, or the resources, or if you were to finish that book, like, how are you teaching them about postpartum depression?
Well, I would say that my passion definitely includes that, because that's what I've experienced and walked through, so I feel like I can help guide. But I feel like overall it's guiding women to just really just be strong through every circumstance life throws at you. So, but with postpartum specifically, because it is something that's so shamed, and it's starting to, you know, open up a little bit. And it has over the years, but I just want women to know that when you're not alone. And I know we hear that, and it's, you know, it just sounds like, oh yeah, okay, whatever, I'm not alone. But you're not. And you need to start reaching out, because it can get really dark and it can get really scary. And it's also the shame and the guilt that they feel, that women feel, is it's linked to your children, you know, your most precious, beautiful little beings that you brought into this world. And so that's where the heaviness really comes in. And I just want women to know, get help. And whether it's reaching out to a friend, a pastor, a counselor, whatever, a doctor, you need to start talking about it. Don't keep it hidden. Don't feel like it's embarrassing or it's too heavy. Because I know that some of the thoughts and everything can get really dark. And the more you keep that in, the more dangerous it actually is. So, and then the other thing is, I know that, you know, women tend to keep it from their spouse because, you know, they're embarrassed or whatever. They don't think they'll understand. I think that that's something that needs to be addressed as well. You know, you got to talk to your spouse about it. Right. They have to understand. And that's a whole other topic because, you know, men, they need to be taught how to understand something like that
right.
as well. But it's not going to happen if we don't talk about it.
Well, and it's hard when, I mean, when you have the woman that's not even talking about it, how the hell do you think the man's going to be able to talk about it?
Right.
You know, they're not going to know anything's wrong because mm-hmm. you as the wife are like, oh, I'm okay. Everything's fine. You know, I haven't had children, so I have no idea what they even say. I'm like, I can't even come up with anything. But it's that fact of, you know, I know a lot of women that have had it, and it's that disconnect of you and the baby, where it's supposed to be this, you know, bonding and, you know, elaborate experience, and that's been taken away from you within that. And I think you mentioned that about the men, you know, but it really comes down to each of us as humans.
Yeah.
We need to ask, or we need to even bring up, like, hey, I'm kind of feeling this way. Like, what do you think this is? Mm-hmm. You know? And it is hard. And we all talk about it. Like, it's so easy to ask for help. And for some reason, that is one of the hardest things for every human being. It doesn't matter if you're a man. It doesn't matter if you're a woman. It doesn't matter if you're a child or not.
Yeah.
It is so astronomically hard for us to say, I have a problem. I need help. How do we fix this?
Yeah. That's pride.
Yes. Yes.
Pride and ego. And I think it's costly.
And I think it's also the lack of resources. Mm-hmm. You know, we aren't getting taught how to ask these questions. We're not getting taught how to, you know, tell our spouses or tell our family members, like, hey, I need help with this. Or, and I think it just comes with a lack of education.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think that it's a lack of education, or do you think that it's more, because I think the resources are out there. I mean, they are. There are resources, but it's funny because I didn't know where to turn. And I don't know if that's a lack of education or if that's just, you know, lack of awareness. I don't know. Now that I've gone through it, I will say, I think that once you just start talking, everybody has a little bit of knowledge in some area or another. Oh, hey, I have a friend that you reach out to. Oh, hey, you know, maybe you should try this, you know, exercise is great, you know, or whatever, you know, whatever
it is. Yeah. Yeah. No, I do. I mean, I think it's a, I don't think it's a one thing.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's many variables, coming in there. I think there's resources out there, absolutely, but it's, do you know that they're out there, and do you know how to get them?
Yeah.
And I think that's where that question for you comes in of, like, you know they're out there, but how do I get them?
Yeah.
And I think that could be a huge, huge, I guess, part of it.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. Yeah.
So living in Boise or living in Idaho now, what do you guys thrive off of? Teaching your girls, getting them involved, showing them being, you know, a strong woman. What does that look like for them?
So the girls and I would say, I mean, we do everything together because, I mean, I have them all the time. Luckily, I have my parents. Been a saving grace. But we go hiking and we go out and we do things. And I hear all the time, because there, when I don't have them, I'll go hike by myself. There's not a whole lot of fear in this girl, but I go out hiking, and, you know, I hear people tell me, like, oh, you need to be careful, you shouldn't go out hiking by yourself, you know, you're a woman. And it's like, yeah, but what am I gonna do, sit at home, do nothing? Like, I don't know. So I just kind of, when I want to do something, I go after it. And so I want to show the girls, and I have been showing the girls, like, we just go after it. Don't be afraid. So that's my outlet. I go hiking and I'll take them and we like to explore new places. Now, my oldest doesn't love it. She's like, oh, another hike. I don't want to go. So with her, now we're going after, she wants to do volleyball. So we're practicing that. I played volleyball in high school and a semester in college. And so I've been helping her with that. And when it comes to being strong, I mean, oh gosh, the school district, I don't know if you heard about Ada County, but they had a big, you know, thing about the masks last year. I got up there and I spoke. I wanted to show them because they were like, Mom, I don't want to wear a mask. I'm like, gotcha. Mom's got this. So I got up there and I gave my speech and I made my stand. And did me alone do anything? Absolutely not. But together, I wanted to show the girls that when we have a concern, a problem, anything like that, don't be afraid. Say something.
Right.
We have a voice. We're given a voice. And I think a lot of women in particular, we hold back because what's the stigma if we stand up a little bit? We kind of, am I allowed to cuss on here?
Yes, you are.
Okay. we're thought to be, you know, a bitch if we say too much and we stand up for ourselves. And I just think that women need to be assertive. You can learn to be assertive without being bitchy and coming across bitchy. And honestly, if somebody thinks you're being a bitch, that's their problem.
Right.
They're the ones that got to go home and live with that thought, not you. So, right. Yeah. We just got to stand up and be a voice.
What else do you think, like, for your girls, teaching them to stand up for?
What do I teach them to stand up for? What they're passionate about. I think that if they believe something is wrong, stand up for it. If somebody's being mistreated, you stand up for that person. You know, there's been situations, you know, that they tell me about at school. And I go, well, what are you going to do about that? Are you going to help, you know, that kid? Or are you going to go to the principal? Like, I don't want them to be, you know, I know
tattletale.
Yeah, it's not about that, but it's about, okay, you know, especially when they share it with me, we'll talk through it. And depending on the situation, it's like, well, do you think that that's worth discussing? Do you think that's worth bringing it up? And I think that for the most part, my girls kind of, they handle a lot of the situations well. I can't honestly, being on the spot right this moment, think of anything, but there have been situations where they've just been like, you know, Mom, this happened and I handled it. I'm like, yeah. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, they just, anything that they're passionate about, anything that they truly care about, I want them to stand up.
Yeah. So. Which is so important. Especially, you know, teaching them, because so many people are like, oh, no, you got to follow this path, or you got to, you know, do this. And it's like, if they want to go do whatever they want to do and they're passionate about it, let them.
Yeah.
You know? Absolutely. And it's great to hear you standing up within our community, because there is such a lack of people that are like, you know, just kind of riding the wave. Like, they don't really want to peep up too much, but then they also don't want to say nothing at all.
Yeah,
you know, they're
yeah.
just kind of in this like flow back and forth, you know, and it is hard being a female and saying like, hey, there's this problem and I'm bringing attention to it and we're talking about it. And like, even, you know, even though that you one person didn't change those mandates, it's getting enough people like you and saying, hey, I'm the first one to rise up. There always has to be a first one. I mean, the first one willing to rise up. Who else can I get on my side? Who else can I get in my area, in my yeah. arena to help us fight for this, whatever it is?
Right. Yeah. And I think that honestly, people kind of just need that one person. And it's a scary, uncomfortable position to be in sometimes, depending on the situation. I definitely will avoid conflict if needed, but I'm not afraid of it. So for me, like, I ain't out picking fights. I actually will stay really low key, you know, if there's a situation, but when and if I need to use my voice, I will. And that goes to every aspect. Like, even when I'm out, like, I have no problem going to, you know, a restaurant or whatever by myself.
Yeah.
And I've been at, you know, a bar top or whatever. And, you know, men get flirty, they get touchy. And I state my boundary, don't touch me.
Yeah.
You know, and even though it might come across as kind of harsh and mean, I feel like, you know, my friends will be like, oh, I would never say that. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
It's your boundary. It's okay. and they need to know it and they need to respect it. And it's not a bad thing for us to stand up and say something. And, you know, the, you know, leading in that way, to me personally, I find it an honor. I was given a voice, and so I'm going to do it. And I'll tell you this too. For the longest time, I was so insecure about that bold side of myself. I would just kind of wish that I was a little quieter, a little more calm and reserved. And I would try. And then I would just like be fighting this internal fight just to speak up about something or to talk about it. And I've learned to temper, like when it's appropriate, when it's not, whatever it is. But there was this part of me that wanted to change who I was. And I'm like, nah, that's boring. I don't like that. So I'll go ahead and be that, you know, proud, loud, strong woman. So, yes.
And that's how you were designed to be, you know, because the people that were born and designed to be the more reserved, they wish they could be like you. They wish they could, like, they're like, oh my gosh, how can you do that? And you look at them and you're like, how can you not do this? Like, what are you talking about? You know, like, yeah. Especially being a female, like somebody the other day was like, aren't you afraid to go hike by yourself? And I'm like, no.
No, not like, at all.
Though I hate the snakes, you know, like that's not going to stop me. And like, I think there's just such a stigma also about people doing things alone, mm-hmm. you know, especially women. It's like, Why are you going to go, you know, to a restaurant by yourself? And I'm like, because I like myself. Like, yeah, I don't need somebody else to, you know, make that happiness happen within me, you know?
Isn't that funny too? Because I have friends that are like, I would never do that. I'm like, why? It's so nice. I don't have to entertain anybody. I entertain myself. I sit there and people watch, you know, and.
Exactly. I mean, especially like my ex, he would always say, he's like, that's weird. Like, why would you go to, you know, dinner by yourself? And I'm like, that's weird that you wouldn't, you know, but our family has always had like a very big problem of staring at other people in restaurants. And like me and my sister still do it to this day. We were all at dinner and we all found each other like staring at, you know, different tables. And my grandma always, when we were kids, she'd be like, that's not your table. Your table's right here. Your eyes stay at our table, you know? And we're like, okay, grandma. But when you're by yourself, it's like, you're just looking around. It's like, you don't have to have that conversation and you can just learn about all these other people and what they're doing and like hearing their conversations. Yeah. And I think it's very entertaining. Like, I would much rather go do that than go to a movie or something.
Oh,
like,
heck yeah.
There is so much entertainment in just watching people. And it sounds creepy, yes.
Well, I think that there's a lot to learn from people's body language and their demeanors and how they handle themselves in public. And, I mean, there's a lot there. So
there is.
I wouldn't say it's creepy.
No. It's and I think, you know, it's a great way to, you know, meet other people that, you know, are within their community or having conversations. And yes, you probably will have, you know, the creepy men trying to touch you on your shoulder. But there's also the creepy me that like goes up to, you know, one of my podcast people that came on here. Like, I just straight up went to him on the table and I was like, you're handsome, you know, like that voice, like that just like aspiration to just be open for people.
Yeah.
People are so hidden in their little shells and it's like, I literally just want to break you out of it. Like, let's make you shine, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I so agree with that. You're speaking my language.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And that's why you connected with me because you're like, hey, I know that girl, she's got something.
Yeah. You know, be bold.
Yeah.
Life, you only get one life. And so I'm just kind of like, you know, take your chances, take your risks. And it's funny. It's a risk to stay or it's a risk to do anything outside of your comfort zone, but it's also a risk to stay there.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
You know,
I think you're doing more harm staying in your comfort zone because it's like, you're just there. You know, you're just kind of, you're not moving. You're just stagnant.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, a great analogy is those ponds, you know, right? That they stay stagnant and they just start growing mold and they start growing algae and they start, you know, doing all these things
all the bugs and
all this stuff. But yet the running river literally moves our mountains.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dang. I'm throwing down knowledge today.
Write that down. Yeah, that's great.
While we kind of, you know, wrap things up, what is one thing, you know, that you're like, I just want to get this out. I just want to say this. I want to, you know, speak what I have to say.
I just want women to know that you're so strong. And I don't mean in a, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I don't mean in a feminine, like screaming feminist way. I mean, like, just know and be comfortable knowing that as a woman, you bring so much to the table, and there's nothing that you should pull back, be reserved about, or hide. I think that as, you know, especially as like I continue to, I was going to say age, I don't want to say that, but as I continue to just grow through life, I've just learned that, you know, by being quiet, about whether it's my story or situations, and not that we need to share everything or air our dirty laundry, nothing like that, but just really sharing value. There's so many people that are like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I needed that. Oh my gosh, you know, I felt like I was the only one or whatever it may be. And, you know, don't be afraid to go out there and share. And don't be afraid if there's something that's bothering you, if there's something that you don't like about the school system or about your job, speak up. Talk to your boss if you're not comfortable about something. Talk to, you know, the principal if you're, you know, unhappy with the way that they're handling something. Will something always get done about it? Maybe not, but at least you tried. At least you made a stand. Mm-hmm. So that's my cry to women. Be bold. And you know, going back to like women that are a little bit more reserved, I think that that's okay. There's still ways where you can, you know, speak up, write a letter, write an email, show up to something and just be present so that you're in the know and you're aware. So,
yeah, no, I think that's great, especially because there's so many different ways that you can speak up. Speaking up doesn't always mean a loud voice.
Right.
Just like you said, it could just be showing up. It could just be another body in the room.
Yeah.
And that's your way of speaking up for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah.
How can people, if they do have questions about postpartum, if they, you know, just struggles through life, want to reach out to you, how can they find you?
Ooh, they can find me through Instagram. I have my Instagram handle. I would say that. I also Well, my website's not quite done, but it will be done pretty soon. So,
what's on your website?
Oh, I'm also an artist. So, I know, but that wasn't the topic, right? But I paint, and I was trying to get a mural here in Boise. So, if anybody has a wall they want to share,
would you ever do it in Nampa?
Yeah, I would love anywhere.
They're actually, I'll send you the link. Nampa is looking for a local artist to do a Nampa like historical in Lloyd Square.
Perfect. Yeah. I would love that. Yeah. So, yeah, that will be my website. It's almost done. I just got to get some professional photos done of my artwork and then post it. But
what's kind of your medium within the artwork?
Funny enough, I just switched. I've worked with acrylic paints forever, and then I fell in love with oil painting. But I mean, I do a little bit of mixed media. My dream is to have my own studio and just be able to splash paint all around and go crazy. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. It'll happen.
Very exciting. Yeah. Well, definitely followers, make sure that you like, you follow, you subscribe to Raw Thoughts Podcast. Check it out on Instagram, rawthoughts.podcast. That is also how you can message me. Response the fastest for you, even though sometimes I take a little while. Don't judge me. But reach out to me, like, subscribe, share with all your friends, leave a review. To get a hold of Bree, look at the description. Her handle will be in there, as well as the golf tournament here in Nampa, Idaho. I hope everybody has a wonderful day, and we will see you next week. Thank you for tuning into the show today. Your feedback is very important to me. If you could leave a review, as well as follow me on Instagram at rawthoughts.podcast and email in at m.rawthoughts@gmail.com if you have any guest suggestions.